Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Come As You Are, revised and updated by Emily Nagoski, FSD. Probl is a science-based non-fiction book about female sexuality, desire, arousal, pleasure, and sexual well-being. First known for bringing contemporary sex research to a broad readership, the book rejects narrow models that treat female sexual response as a simple mechanical function or a problem to be medically corrected. Instead, it presents sexuality as a biopsychosocial process shaped by the brain, the body, relationships, stress, culture, and self-perception. The revised and updated edition adds newer discussion of mindfulness, desire, and pleasure while preserving the central message that variation is normal and that sexual difficulty often comes from context rather than personal defect. Written for general readers but useful to couples, clinicians, and educators, the book combines accessible explanation with practical reflection. Its purpose is not to prescribe a single ideal sex life, but to help readers understand the conditions under which desire and pleasure can emerge. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the dual control model explains desire through sexual accelerators and brakes. One of the central frameworks in Come As You Are is the dual control model of sexual response. Nagoski explains that the brain has systems that notice sexually relevant stimuli and systems that inhibit arousal when conditions feel unsafe, stressful, distracting, or otherwise unsuitable. The accelerator does not simply mean high libido, and the brake does not simply mean repression. They are interacting mechanisms that vary from person to person. This distinction matters because many people interpret low desire as evidence that something is missing inside them. Nagoski reframes the problem by asking what is pressing the brakes: stress, fear of judgment, relationship tension, body shame, exhaustion, and lack of privacy can all inhibit sexual interest even when attraction is present. The model is useful because it shifts attention from performance pressure to context management. Rather than trying only to increase stimulation, readers are encouraged to identify and reduce inhibitory factors. This makes the book different from advice that treats desire as a force that should appear automatically. It presents desire as a responsive system, sensitive to conditions, and therefore more understandable and adjustable. Secondly, sexual well-being depends heavily on context rather than anatomy alone. Nagoski repeatedly argues that sexual satisfaction is not determined mainly by genital anatomy, technique, or a universal formula for arousal. The meaning of a situation matters as much as the physical sensation. A touch that feels pleasurable in one context may feel irritating or invasive in another, because the nervous system is evaluating safety, trust, stress load, emotional closeness, and attention. This emphasis on context is a major contribution of the book because it corrects the common assumption that sex can be improved only by changing behavior in bed. Nagoski places ordinary life inside the sexual response cycle. Work pressure, caregiving demands, sleep loss, cultural messages, and unresolved conflict are not external distractions from sexuality. They are part of the conditions that shape desire. The practical implication is that better sex may require changes outside the sexual moment, such as reducing stress, improving communication, or creating a more secure relational environment. This approach also helps explain why desire can fluctuate across life stages or relationships without indicating failure. By treating context as central, the book gives readers a more realistic and less blame-oriented way to understand sexual difficulty. Thirdly, responsive desire challenges the myth that real desire must be spontaneous. Come As You Are is widely associated with the distinction between spontaneous desire and responsive desire. Spontaneous desire appears in advance of sexual activity, often as an urge that seems to arise without much prompting. Responsive desire emerges after erotic context, emotional connection, or pleasurable stimulation has already begun. Nagoski uses this distinction to challenge a cultural script that treats spontaneous desire as the only authentic form. Many people, especially in long-term relationships, may not feel desire until the situation becomes inviting and their brakes are lowered. If they expect desire to appear first, they may conclude that they are broken or that the relationship has lost attraction. The book does not argue that one pattern is superior. Instead, it shows that different desire styles can be normal and that sexual well-being improves when expectations match actual experience. This idea has practical importance for couples because it changes the question from why do I not want sex at random moments to what conditions allow desire to develop. It also reduces pressure by separating absence of spontaneous craving from absence of capacity for pleasure, intimacy, or arousal. Fourthly, arousal non-concordance separates bodily response from subjective wanting. Another important concept in the book is arousal nonconcordance, the gap between physiological genital response and conscious sexual interest or pleasure. Nagoski explains that the body can respond to sexually relevant stimuli without the person wanting sex, enjoying the stimulus, or consenting to anything. Conversely, a person can feel desire or pleasure without a perfectly matching genital response. This distinction is important because cultural myths often treat bodily signs as direct evidence of internal willingness. Nagoski rejects that interpretation and presents arousal as a process in which the brain may classify something as sexually relevant without classifying it as wanted or welcome. The concept has ethical and practical implications. It supports a clear understanding of consent because physical response is not the same as agreement. It also reduces shame for people whose bodies do not seem to match their feelings. Rather than seeing this mismatch as proof of confusion or dysfunction, readers can understand it as a known feature of human sexual response. By explaining non-concordance, the book gives language to experiences that are often misunderstood and helps separate sexual science from harmful assumptions about desire, pleasure, and consent. Lastly, self-compassion and mindfulness reduce shame around sexual difference. The revised edition places notable emphasis on mindfulness, self-compassion, and pleasure as practical responses to shame. Nagoski argues that many sexual difficulties are intensified by the belief that there is a correct way to feel, respond, look, or want. Shame narrows attention and increases self-monitoring, which can strengthen the brakes on arousal. Mindfulness is presented not as a mystical cure, but as a way of noticing sensations, emotions, and thoughts without immediately judging them. Self-compassion works similarly by helping readers interpret difference as variation rather than failure. This matters because sexual education and media often create unrealistic expectations about frequency, orgasm, body image, and desire. The book encourages readers to become curious about their own patterns instead of measuring themselves against the supposed norm. Pleasure is treated as a legitimate subject of attention, not an optional reward after meeting external standards. The practical outcome is a shift from correcting the self to understanding the self. This makes the book especially valuable for readers whose main barrier is not lack of information, but accumulated anxiety, comparison, or negative self-evaluation. In conclusion, Come As You, Our Revised and Updated, is best suited for readers who want a research-informed but accessible understanding of female sexuality, especially those dealing with low desire, desire mismatch, body image concerns, stress-related inhibition, or confusion about arousal. It is also useful for partners who want better language for discussing sex without blame, and for therapists, educators, or health professionals who need a clear summary of major concepts in contemporary sex science. The practical benefit is that the book gives readers frameworks they can apply to their own lives, such as identifying breaks, recognizing responsive desire, distinguishing arousal from consent, and improving the context in which pleasure becomes possible. Its intellectual benefit is a broader model of sexuality that integrates biology, psychology, culture, and relationships rather than isolating sex as a mechanical act. Compared with many books in the sex advice category, it stands out because it is less focused on technique and more focused on interpretation, conditions, and normalization of variation. Compared with more academic sexology texts, it is more readable and personally applicable. Its strongest differentiator is the combination of scientific explanation, sex-positive analysis, and sustained attention to shame, context, and individual difference. If you would like to support Emily Nagoski, HAD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.